It's time for Twig This Week in Google. We're going to talk about Google. Jeff Jarvis in studio with us. I'm excited. Gina Trapani will join us. We'll talk about the new features at Google, how much glass really costs, and whether you should buy one, and the right to be forgotten. Do you have it? How do you get it? And why Google may not want it. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 249, recorded May 14th, 2014. Slow Talkers. This Week in Google is brought to you by Full Sail University. Full Sail offers both online and campus degree programs centered on real-world experience in the entertainment, media, and technology industries. For more information, visit fullsail.edu/twig. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 295,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/twig to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we cover Google, the cloud, the Twitter, the Facebook, anything like that. And Gina Trapani is here from her headquarters, her world headquarters at thinkup.com. Hi, Gina.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Yeah. And she's, of course, not only the creator of ThinkUp, but the founding editor of Life Hacker, the author of the famous Google Wave book, The Complete Guide to Google Wave.
And it's so mean. Yeah,
well, that she wrote it. Okay. Also, a couple of Life Hacker books. Okay.
I was going to say, were the Life Hacker books in the third edition?
Yeah. There you go. Third edition. When did that come out? That's good.
Yeah. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
I think a year or two ago now. We're actually talking about the next edition. So
awesome.
That's exciting.
Awesome. Yeah. I still want to do that Life Hacker show with you and Merlin. I guess you both have kind of gone off to do it elsewhere. But because his Men at Work show is kind of a Life Hacker-ish.
Oh, really? I don't even know.
Productivity.
I've sort of lost track of him a bit.
Yeah. No, he was on the other day. It was really nice to see him again. Also here, speaking of nice to see him, look, he's in studio with us, Jeff Jarvis, City University of New York professor of...
I'm not pink.
...journalism. His flesh tones are real. He blogs at buzzmachine.com as author of Public Parts and What Will Google Do? And I wish you told me you were going to go to Starbucks because I would have arranged for a better coffee experience. We actually bought an espresso machine because we were spending so much at Starbucks, like hundreds of dollars a month. I figured it out. I thought 6 months we'll pay for it with a coffee machine.
Have you had the Oprah chai yet?
Starbucks has chai from Oprah?
Yes.
Is that south of India, Oprah?
Is that
in Kathmandu? What is Oprah chai? You mean it's Oprah branded chai?
It's like she doesn't have enough money.
Would this woman get her fingers out of my life? Oprah branded chai?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it like Oprah's favorite chai?
Of course.
Oprah's best?
It'll make you feel...
I like chai. No, I'll go down and try it. I didn't know. See, it worked.
Yeah.
It made me want to try their chai.
Yeah.
They did not have good chai at Starbucks. That was actually a...
is chai?
It's Indian tea with spices. So cardamom, pepper. I can't remember what some of the other chief spices are. Maybe a little cinnamon. And it's delicious. You don't like chai? You never had chai?
I've never had it.
It's a spiced tea.
It's something you eat with
no, it's fabulous.
Sprouts, you know.
It's a spiced tea.
Okay.
You'd love it.
Really?
No, it's not hippy dippy at all.
Not?
Oh, no. It's all you can get in India. Now, if they made Deepak Oprah chai. Now you got a hit. Let's see. In Google land, there is some big news. Europe has said you have the right to be forgotten. A European court said Google must edit sensitive search results. And people can ask Google to take stuff off of their index. There are 180 similar cases right now in Spain. This is a very popular thing. I think it was the EU's privacy czar who first proposed this. Nelly Kroes. Yeah.
Well, actually, or whatever. It was the other one. It's,
the other one. So what is, first of all, what is, as you understand it, you are our reporter from Europe, Jeff Jarvis. You've been there, right?
I'm closer.
Yeah, you're closer.
Actually, Gina's closer than I am. She's about 2 miles east of where I am.
What is the right to be forgotten?
The argument is that when something bad about you is online, you should have the right to get rid of this. But clearly that has an impact on the other party's free speech.
Well, what you could do is go to the place where it is. Oh, I guess if like you were, I don't know, there were pictures of you in an orgy that were distributed widely.
Or
the only place you could get it kind of turned off is Google.
Well, the original site.
But if it's like in 100 sites.
If it's spread all over, then you can try to cut access to it, but it's still on those sites.
Google's defense would be, I imagine, well, the Google Search Index merely indexes the state of the internet as it is.
Yes, but the argument that comes back then is, well, what's your algorithm? And we're, you know, they always risk this danger of the demand to reveal the algorithm. And how did that end up on top? But this is a really, really...
Can't Google defend that by saying, we have PageRank and this is how we use it?
But here's the problem. They don't have a First Amendment.
There's no right to free speech in Europe.
Well, right. There's not the same guarantee in the same kind of absolute way. We had at CUNY on Monday, we gave an award to Alan Rusbridger, the editor of The Guardian, and Floyd Abrams of The New York Times, who defended The New York Times and the Pentagon Papers case both spoke. And Alan keeps on going on about the need for a First Amendment in the rest of the world. We're the only ones who have one.
It seems like an absolute
right to speech.
But even more, in my opinion, seems to reflect a misunderstanding of technology, misunderstanding of technology. I think the right to be forgotten is a wonderful thing, and I wish it existed, but it doesn't, because you're not eliminating these websites at all.
Well, but it's worse than that, Leo, because what you're really saying is that you're going to control knowledge. It's a Men in Black pen moment, right? And you forget. So you're telling the world to forget something the world already knows.
Right.
That is offensive to the notion of knowledge.
Right.
That says that we're trying to control knowledge. It's mind control. It's propaganda. It's tyranny. All these things lead to that. You would think if anyone in the world has learned this lesson, it's Europe.
All right, but let me put a counterexample. So you're a person who doesn't have a lot of a presence on the internet, doesn't participate in the internet. You're just, you know, you don't, that's not part of your life. You don't have a Facebook page or a Twitter page. You've, in fact, never put anything online attached to your name. But somebody, a bad person, decides to write something bad about you. That bad person has a popular website or whatever, and that bad thing gets spread everywhere. That is the entire Google search result for your name, is that bad stuff. May even be a lie, may even be libel. What do you do then?
Well, we have a cure for that. That's libel. It's libel law. We already have that legal mechanism. And in fact, in the UK, it's so wacky, people from around the world go to sue on libel there. So there's plenty of mechanism to say something said about you. But the other case is, what if you got arrested for drunk driving 10 years ago, and that's online somewhere, and you say, well, really, it's been 10 years. You know, can't you just forget?
Right.
But it's public record.
Not in the internet, you can't.
Right.
And I think that blaming Google is what's really puzzling.
Well, that's
to me.
That's the anti-tech part. That's the Luddite moment here.
Because this is just an index of what already exists on the net, and they're saying, well, since we can't delete what already exists, what if we just delete, you know, control your ability to find it? But that's not Google's fault.
No, it's not at all. And again, I still want to come back to this notion of free speech, because in any transaction of information, there are two parties, right? And if you say something bad about me, and I go on and say, well, I just didn't like that, or in the words of this, it's irrelevant, and I make Google take it down, and you have the right to be able to say, no, when I call Jarvis a jerk, it's because he is a jerk. It's because I mean it, and I have a right to call him a jerk. And now that right is being impinged.
So the ruling, which was in Luxembourg, because it's the European Union Court of Justice, was in a case where a Spanish man complained to the Spanish Data Protection Agency. It's interesting they even have such a
group. Yeah.
That an auction, this is the same country that brought you the Inquisition, just in case you're wondering, that an auction notice of his repossessed home showing up on Google, that infringed his privacy. Now, the company Well, this is a quote from the judges. If following a search made on the basis of a person's name, the list of results displays a link to a web page which contains information on the person in question, that data subject may approach the operator directly, and where the operator does not grant his request, bring the matter before the competent authorities in order to obtain, under certain circumstances, the removal of that link from the list of results. The judge is conflating the listing of the repossession, which is presumably not just Google's pointing to a page somewhere, but he's conflating that with the Google search result and saying exactly. that Google is, in fact, presenting that information.
They have this idea that Google is the Internet. And Google, this is what Eric Schmidt always says, that because Google is the largest entity on the Internet, anything people don't like about the Internet, they're going to go after Google for.
This is the biggest issue. The judges said an Internet search engine operator is responsible for the processing that it carries out of personal data which appear on web pages published by third parties.
That is so abhorrent.
But what if Google took out any extract that said what that content was, but merely a link to the page?
Well, think of it from Google's perspective. Now, they have to become the court of what's right and wrong.
Right,
so I come
terrible.
To you and I say, you should take down that foreclosure notice. And then Google says, well, were you foreclosed? Was it true? Is this libelous? Is this wrong? Google can't be the court of hurt feelings.
Well, you know what you were going to say? It's not even practical.
Well, you know, this is hard. I mean, I'm going to try and take it from the other perspective. I mean, I think in these situations, I try not to think about it necessarily from the perspective of Google, but maybe from the perspective of someone who has a genuine issue. I mean, I don't know. What if when Etta grows up, she doesn't like the things that I wrote about her, the pictures that I published, you know, of her when she was a child? She wants to be defined, you know, other than how I defined her. Or worse, you know, you have those sites where like ex-boyfriends publish, you know, private photos of their girlfriends.
That's a better example because that's so obviously harmful.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I don't think that Google can, you know, decide what's right and wrong and decide what's fact and what's not. But the truth is, I mean, it is kind of privacy through obscurity. If it's not listed in the first page of your Google search results or the first few pages, it might as well not exist. People can't find it. Or if someone's been doxxed and their, you know, address and social security number has been, you know, published somewhere for some reason. It feels like there are so many instances where an individual who can't necessarily, you know, practically reach out to all these third party websites and ask them to remove, you know, private and, you know, embarrassing, potentially harmful information, like, doesn't have any recourse. So I'm trying to figure out, you know,
I'm reaching back into my too elderly memory right now, but wasn't there a feature on some search engine or some such somewhere once that allowed you to annotate things and say that there was a response? There was more of a right to response than a right to erase.
You remember that? There should be a right to do anything to the Google index.
Well, you mean like trackbacks, that kind of thing?
No, it wasn't that. It was that there was some kind of chat room. Am I crazy? Wasn't there a moment where there was an effort to be able to add on to church results?
And I guess my question is the solution for an individual what Schmidt suggested, that we'd have to change our names if we want to reinvent ourselves?
It was a joke.
But if I'm an individual who has a history of, you know, of you know, whatever, well documented online, I'm trying to reinvent myself. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to be a different person. And I can't get that information out. I mean,
the solution is a more tolerant society. The solution, and sorry it's this big, the solution is a more tolerant society that recognizes that we all do things that were mistakes. We all do things that we're ashamed of at some point. We all learn lessons and learn life as we go on in our one attempt at it. And this idea that off with your head if you do one thing wrong at one point, or if somebody doesn't like that you're gay, that's the larger issue is tolerance. But we can't solve that through trying to sanitize Google of things some people don't like. Gina, take Google out of it and now just say the Internet. Okay? So now say mm-hmm. that you said something about me that I didn't like at some point. I said something stupid like I like Wave. And as a technology genius on this show,
yeah, Gina wishes I would never mention that book again.
So just because I don't like it, can you come to me and say that you have to take down what I don't like?
I mean, so there's the internet, and then there's most people's lens into the internet. I think Google search results are most people's lens into the internet. You know, does the book, if you can't find the book in the library, you know, if it's not in in the Dewey Decimal System, if it's not in the catalogs, like no one can find it. Sure, it exists, but it's, you know, look, the reality is that employers and clients and mothers and siblings all Google people, right? That's what you do. You Google people to find out something about them, and there might be a time when, you know, I get it. It's a tough issue.
But the next step of this is that if Google can be forced to take it down, then any and every site, including us, will be forced to take things down. And we'll be held liable in Europe. If we say something, if I say something, you know, Herr Schmidt is a dork. And now Herr Schmidt can go to the EU court and say, you must take that down, Mr. Jarvis. And I said, no, he's a dork. And this just proved it because you went to the court to ask me to take it down. No, I don't like this. It is irrelevant to me. You must take it down. That impinges upon my speech. I just can't get past that.
What if something's verifiably untrue? Someone says something verifiably untrue about Leo,
it happens all the time.
It happens all the time, right?
So I understand both sides, but I think that it's like saying, well, let's just not have an internet because then this is a problem. And I think that, unfortunately, punishing Google for this is, first of all, is ineffective. It seems misdirected. I understand what you're saying, Gina, that it's the card catalog, and if you take the book out of the card catalog, it doesn't matter if it's in the stacks.
But even if you look at things like the knowledge graph, I mean, Google has taken upon itself, you know, the idea that it's this repository of facts, that you can ask it questions and it will give you answers. What if something is the wrong answer? If something is untrue, I mean, do they become the arbiter of truth at some
point? Truth is a very hard standard.
Well, and that's a problem, is that this puts them in the position to do that, right? They now have to be a judge. I mean, boy, this is a tough one. I don't know what the answer is.
It's tough. It's tough. And I tend to agree with both of you. I'm just trying to – I like to try to take the perspective of kind of the person who's less empowered. I think this is less about, you know, someone calling someone a name and more about someone who's in a position where information about them, which is either untrue or which is truly private or should be private, you know.
But that's what Leo's point is, I think, Gina, is that the horse is out of the barn, the cat out of the bag. We're in a world now where knowledge passes around quickly, information passes around quickly, and all in all, I want that, and it comes with a price. So we also have to teach people to check things first. We have to teach people that they do have to go online and say something in response. We have to recognize that people make mistakes early in life. These are new realities, and trying to hold back the technology isn't going to work. And so we have to deal with that reality, I think.
And meanwhile, you have the freedom to annoy in New York. Did you know about that?
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
I always had that.
Yesterday, the Court of Appeals in Albany, in a near unanimous decision, struck down a statute that made a felony in New York to communicate with someone in a manner likely to cause annoyance or alarm. These were actually ordinances used by the district attorney in New York to prosecute harassers.
Which is an issue, too.
It was an anti-troll ordinance. The case involved a 54-year-old Greenwich Village resident who waged a year-long campaign, actually many year-long campaign, against academic rivals of his father, a Dead Sea Scrolls scholar.
Man, there's all kinds of trolls in the world. You know? Jesus.
Is alleged to have created sock puppets, false identities. He opened email accounts in the names of some of his antagonists and wrote messages confessing to wrongdoing, and of course that those were not real. He was convicted of 30 counts of aggravated harassment, criminal impersonation, identity theft, forgery, and unauthorized use of a computer. Sentenced to 6 months in jail, 5 years of probation. Now, he's still, you know, 7 of the 10 charges were thrown out. He still has misdemeanor counts of criminal impersonation and identity theft. But the being annoying part was, that statute was struck down. Cyrus Vance Jr., district attorney in Manhattan, says the aggravated harassment statute is one of the most important tools we have to protect victims of, among other serious crimes, stalking and domestic violence.
Here's what we have to figure out here. Is that there's a line. It goes over the line. You become, and you're a troll. We had the story on a few weeks ago about how trolls really are
sadists.
Sick sadistic people, right? So it is at some point somebody's going to determine this is an illness. If you treat it like that, this is an odd comparison here, but look at Donald Sterling, who is saying noxious and abhorrent and awful and ridiculous things.
Right.
But he also appears to be off his rocker.
Right.
And so what we're doing in the media now is exploiting that fact to get an hour's discussion on CNN repeated over and over and over again because he's friggin' loony. And so I don't want to speak about this guy who was in the court case in New York, but trolls
sounds
are
obsessive.
Generally loony.
Yeah, a little loony.
And so...
Seems like you could prosecute on a variety, as they did, on a variety of ways.
Yeah.
But apparently you're free to annoy people. It's not not against the law in New York.
Well, a lot of people do it to me. I am very annoyed by open mouth gum chewing, and people do it. I'm annoyed by tourists who walk slowly on the sidewalk anywhere they friggin'
and
well
short
please.
Short pants.
Yeah. Right. I'm annoyed by knees, guys.
We got nothing but short pants.
They annoy me.
Nonetheless, it's perfectly legal.
It is. Knees are legal, and good thing for it.
Yeah. I actually have to agree that this. You don't want to take away tools to prosecute true harassers, but I think that there are, in fact, sufficient laws probably to prosecute them.
We have yet another
step over the line.
Another case on Google is in Germany. They're now an agency is now demanding that Google stop compiling data. This is that problem: data across services. So there's one big Google, and Google can't act like that anymore, and can't move your data across from service to service.
I don't know how Google survives. I would just say I give up, throw up my hands, and say. Europe, you can have yourself. I'm going home. I take my ball.
Here's Bing, man. Go with it.
What if Google did that? They did it in China. What if they did it and said, okay, Europe, you win.
If they're a private company, the stock would go.
Yeah.
Because Europe as a whole is a bigger market than China.
It must be tempting.
It must be tempting. Just the
Google has the money and the lawyers to handle it.
I guess they've got people. They don't have to really pay that much attention.
Yeah, they've got some people. They're not working long hours.
However, if I were Larry Page, I go, gosh, they basically want me to ruin my beautiful service and somehow become this arbiter of what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false. Right.
Once again, it shows a fundamental understanding of the technology is that if Google had come out fully birthed with all these services, it would have one privacy policy across all. It would have one database across all. And it just happened to add them on as time went on and then regularized them. And it's just ridiculous. And it comes out of this Luddite fear.
And Germany's history of collecting data about people, right? This is a deeply entrenched sort of cultural issue.
Yeah, but there too, Gina, I would argue that erasing things you don't like is also part of tyranny. And so they don't recognize their own irony in this case, that trying to control knowledge and control information
is
something Europe, of all places, should know is a dangerous thing to do.
So this single ID thing would be simple enough to solve if Google put a checkbox up for you each the first time you used any of Google's services saying, because it's without their consent in this case. If you wish to use a Google service, you need to give us your consent.
If not, goodbye.
If not, goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you can't go. You may be offended by advertising, but you can't go to a site and say, I don't want any ads here. No, because that's the business model.
No, so just
this
don't
is the model.
Just don't use it.
Don't use it. Fine.
I don't know. The privacy thing is, the sharing data, that's easily dealt with. But this issue of removing search results because somebody didn't like them. Whew. Are they going to insist on a higher standard than you just don't like it? What is the standard?
Yeah, what is
right? Irrelevance is one of the words I see. Relevance to what?
It's very nebulous. I could, if they said if it's libelous, so first you have to go to court and show that this is libelous.
Yes.
Then you have to. It has to be removed. Then I would. That'd be
then
fine.
Then there's a.
But you don't have to. It could be actually a true fact.
Yes.
And it just because it happened 10 years ago.
Or it happened yesterday and it's an opinion about you and it's an opinion you don't like or it's something you did that you wish you hadn't done. We got a few of those.
I get it all the time.
Yeah.
But it's something you and I live with, right? I mean.
Speak for yourself. I have nothing to be embarrassed today.
My solution is to embarrass myself daily and then that way the overwhelming amount of embarrassment just. Dilutes the whole thing. I don't know what to do. I really don't. It's really a challenge. It really is. And I just don't know what the answer is.
We're not going to find it for I'm reading a book right now on the history of newspapers. Oh, boy, isn't that exciting.
Yeah. No, I bet it is, actually.
Not so far.
No?
But
need a better book.
It's something I got to read.
Yeah.
But it makes the point that the first newspaper was not invented. Sorry. Geek out moment. You're going to hear it. Get your drinks ready. Until 155 years after Gutenberg.
Right. That's what happens.
invented the press. Right. So it took 150 years to say, hey, I could use this to spread information. Wow, cool.
Yeah, but the first 150 years, all they did is print Bibles.
And indulgences.
Yeah. But that, yeah. Oh.
So I was just saying that we don't know what the internet is yet. We don't. The change on society is indeed fundamental.
And society's fighting it.
As societies tend to do, but it ain't going to work, folks.
In the long run, it doesn't, does it?
No.
We have lots more to talk about. Our Google changelog coming up. We'll put Gina to work. But first, a word from Full Sail University. Full Sail offers both online and campus degree programs centered on real-world experience in entertainment, in media, in technology. If you visit fullsail.edu/twig, you can learn a lot more. Marketers these days, if you've ever watched our Marketing Maverick show, you realize it's so much more than it used to be. You have to be proficient in using web-based tools, techniques to reach audiences and consumers in a digital environment, online marketing and web-based channels, search technologies, analytics, all of this stuff. How do you learn about this stuff? You might know everything there is to know about how to market, but do you know how to market online? Full Sail University's online Internet Marketing Master's program is designed for people who want to keep pace with marketing technologies. The courses cover topics like search engine optimization, social media marketing, web metrics analytics, and online consumer behavior. You'll work on real projects with real clients, generating experience and results. And, of course, your instructors are actually in the biz, so they understand. Full Sail University's online and campus degree programs are centered on real-world education and experience. And you can earn a master's in as little as 12 months. Through Full Sail's Project Launchbox program, students also receive a MacBook Pro preloaded with Apple's complete line of creative software tools, as well as degree-specific sets of pro-level applications. You want to know more? They've got master's programs in business intelligence. That would be a very useful thing. I could use some intelligence right now. Innovation and entrepreneurship and new media journalism. To learn more about Full Sail's master's degree program in internet marketing or any of their related programs, check out fullsail.edu/twig. Full Sail, FullSail, like a sailboat, .edu/twig. And we thank them for their support of Twig. The fact that they're advertising on Twig tells you they know a little bit about this stuff.
That's right.
They got some sense here.
Is that a hint that CUNY should be advertising on Twig?
Yeah, you don't need to. They got you.
That's true.
The dean Sarah Bartlett's here once again. We're gonna talk later about a relationship.
Yes, we are.
CUNY and Twit,
a marriage.
We'll call it Twoony.
New York Studio, baby.
Twoony.
Well, I had to go that way. The other way wouldn't have worked out so well. We're gonna take a little trumpet break here, ladies and gentlemen. I give you. The wrong sound. That was my fault. I pushed the wrong button. Ladies and gentlemen, Gina Trapani, the latest from Google.
Spell Up. Have you guys seen this?
Spell Up.
It's a new Chrome experiment. It's a browser-based spelling game for English speakers. If you go to spellup.withgoogle.com, you can try out the game. In fact, Leo, you should probably try it out.
I'm an excellent speller.
You're an excellent speller. I know that about you without even having ever been in a spelling bee with you.
This is fun, whatever's going on.
I used to be good until Google came along and ruined my spelling because I can just look it up.
We were just showing a product review that had the worst spelling ever. Let me see if my spelling... So, okay. It's falling from the...
So this experiment showing off Chrome's new web speech API.
Okay. My speakers are turned up. Please click allow. Okay. Oh.
So you want to allow your microphone access?
It needs to use the mic, yeah. And this is not Flash. This is HTML5. Oh, mm-hmm. I made some noise and it heard. Okay. 5 meters.
Spell. Go.
G-O. O. Well, that was hard.
Okay, that was easy. Okay, so the idea is that you make a tower of words.
Ah.
So I guess it should give you the next one.
This is so exciting, I can barely stand it.
I can't hear it. What? What?
Hey, you can hit the replay button next to the mic.
Spell play.
P.
Oh. You're...
Spell play.
P. L. A.
All right. This is, all right.
Why?
You get the idea.
Yeah.
Spell
yeah.
play.
What's the point?
Why can't I just go P-L-A-Y?
Yeah. It could be a little faster. So the point is, just to show off.
You know how much I like slow talkers?
A.
They have
Why?
The right to
annoy
you. There's an old Bob and Ray routine. An interview
Why?
With the president of the slow talkers.
Yes.
Spell.
That's
play.
A great
of
interview.
America.
This is the most
play.
Annoying game
yes.
ever.
But you can do that in New York now. You can do that. It's legal. So.
You can do that. The
P-L-A-Y. God. Okay.
Spell
next.
Play.
Yes.
We
this
can,
is hell. Okay?
H-E-L-L.
I'm going to hell, and they will play this game that speed for the rest of eternity.
Maybe if you had a Chromebook, it would be faster.
Okay. We can...
Spell. Play.
Spell it already, will you?
No.
You did spell it.
You just shut up, because every time you say something, it ruins it. Okay, quiet.
Spell. Play.
P.
Hey.
Stop it! All right, I give up. This is not something you can play with a father in the room. Next.
Next up, Gmail gets revamped Hangouts on the desktop.
Yes.
And so, that makes
Leo
me so happy.
I couldn't get rid of it. I actually had to close it.
So what was more annoying for you, the spell up game or the Hangouts new layout?
Right now, Google is 0-2. I'm just going to say that. No, but the reason is I show my Gmail all the time, and mm-hmm. the Hangouts were there, so I turned it off. But you could still have it in Plus. And did they not have emojis before?
They had emojis. They've added new emojis. They've brought back the little green availability bubble to let you know if your friend is online. And they added message snippets. Just means that when you're looking at your contacts list, you can see the last thing a person said, a kind of snippet of their last message to you. So, and there's a new search bar so you can find friends in your list and you can find friends that aren't in your list.
Oh, I see the green dot. Okay, so with the green dot next to Dan says he's online, available,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right.
So you'll notice that looks a little different in Gmail, and also if you use the Hangouts extension for Chrome, which I do, you'll also get the availability bubbles and the message snippets.
Oh, there's a Hangouts extension for Chrome.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yep.
I should put that in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of puts it in a separate window.
Oh, all right.
What
also,
else
when
we
I
have?
Use it for the show, I can use that. Hey, Chad?
Yay.
I love Hangouts extension.
You use it too?
Totally. Yeah, it's replaced. I used to use, an
Talk.
XMPP.
Yeah, Google Talk.
Google Talk.
Yeah.
And yeah, now the Hangouts extension has replaced everything. Because it's like it's that separate application sort of thing that they rolled out where it can
shows
run
up in a grid and all that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it can run when your Chrome isn't up and running. It
can?
Yeah.
So I do that
on the PC is it'll now be at the top of your bar, your PC bar, and it's just the little Hangouts logo.
Didn't know about this, huh?
Yeah, it's quite nice. It's the thing that has replaced, Trillion and Colloquy and all those things. Or not Colloquy.
Yeah, full-fledged chat client.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Cool. Yeah. So it's going to have all those new features as well.
Yes, it will. I will.
You know, I can't even remember. How do I get to the web store to get on?
Help me, Gina! We're old.
I always have to go to settings, extensions, get more extensions.
I just Googled
the only
Hangout
thing.
Extension, and that pretty much worked. So I'm just saying, let me Google that for you, Jeff.
Yeah, I would just Google.
I would have, but I have the experts in the world right here. Ask a friend a question. Jeez.
Hangout. So I don't know, actually, the answer.
No, I'll admit, I have to Google it every time myself.
Yeah. Just Google the name of it.
I don't know the URL.
It used to be, yeah, there it is. It used to be that when you got a new tab, it was on there.
So my mood is now, mm-hmm. is not text. It is an emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So my mood is now an emoji. All right.
One of my students is going to do a business based on emojis.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how it's journalistic, but he's...
It's called Path. Okay, more options. All right, good. This is cool. Sign on cool. to Hangouts on Chrome Starts. Keep Hangouts on top of other with us. Show system tray icon. So that kind of keeps it semi-permanent, just floating
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Moving over to iOS, Google Search 4.0 for iOS. Add a few options that we already have on Android. New voice search options and more relevant results. So the app recognizes voice search cues and conversational input. So you can say to the app, you know, what's the weather like? And when you get results, you can follow up with, you know, how about this weekend? And you'll get the results for the coming weekend. And like it does on Android, the app on iOS will now also alert you when new articles on certain topics appear. And that's powered by Google Now. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Google Now cards, which is like updates to websites you visited or suggesting articles about things you've searched for before. I got the notification for the new Justin Bieber album.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Is that out?
Yes.
Ooh.
So that's all on
I got Bieber
now.
Fever.
You're a Belieber.
I'm a Belieber.
Google's Knowledge Graph now extends into Google Maps. So if you search for certain locations, you'll get a quick facts card that'll tell you some information about that place. So if you search for the Space Needle or you search for nice. Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, the only problem is, you know what irritates me about maps? Is that all that big box on there takes up the map.
You can close it, can't you?
I know, but then I've got to do that all the time, and it irritates me.
In my test, it was collapsed by default. So it was kind of, there are cards that are stacked, and you have to click on the quick facts card in order to expand it. So it won't take up all the side by default. Google Wallet updated for Android and iOS, actually, and it introduces multiple accounts. So if you launch Google Wallet, you can now switch between your Google accounts and set a separate PIN for each account. So that's nice for people, folks like us who have multiple accounts. Yep. And we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, but the Google Drive update that rolled out this week, that finally officially removes document editing. So it's read-only and search-only. If you want to... if you want to edit your Sheets or Docs, you have to install the separate Sheets and Docs apps, which lets you edit both online and offline. So it's a little annoying when you first go into Drive and tap on a document. But once you get the other app, you have all the functionality it used to have. They've just separated it out into these different apps. And that's it. That's all I got.
That is the Google changelog. Boom, boom, boom. Thank you, Gina Trapani.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you how you can own Google Glass of your very own.
Because I'll sell you one.
Really? With Jeff's prescription built in. Our show today brought to you by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. What is the current count of 99 Designs? I think they crossed 300,000 designers. They're all waiting for you at 99designs.com. You stop by. Yep, 301,481. The tote board has turned over once again. That is a big community of designers, and they're waiting for you to start. They call it a design contest. You could say a request for design or something. The idea is you go there for your logo, for app design, business card design, web page design. Get a t-shirt. We get t-shirts frequently from 99 Designs. Our latest hoodie design is a 99 Designs design. So you post the project, see how much you're willing to pay. Designers will then flock to you and offer you ideas. You can refine it with the designer. Pick one, pay him, and you get the design. Projects start at just $199, and your happiness is always 100% guaranteed. The designers love it. You will love it, too. In fact, $2 million in payouts to designers last month. Last month alone. It's a hub for design talent and for people who need design work. 99 Designs.
I'm from New York.
No, you can leave it up. This is one
Actually,
of the designers.
A little small island called Staten Island. Forgotten Burr. I'm here in San Francisco because of an awesome opportunity that presented itself through 99 Designs. I'm working on a pretty exciting project that involved taking on their entire product branding from the ground up. I've always been designing since I was,
it's a neat story,
you know,
actually.
Seven and watching my dad do. He wanted to be an architect at one time. The thing that really inspires me about architecture is just the user experience element of it all, where you can see a building that could look a certain way, but then when you enter...
You can see the rest of the video at 99designs.com. Neat story about Nicholas, who's a 99designs designer, who actually got a pretty darn good gig out of it. If you have design work you need done, just go to 99designs.com/twig, and we're going to give you a $99 power pack of services absolutely free. That gives you more designer time and attention. They'll bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99designs Marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs. 99designs.com/twig. An army of designers is waiting for you right there, right now. They're going to do, they have a lot of interesting things in the works. I probably shouldn't talk about it until it happens. One of the things they're going to have as an offer is a whole logo kit. So you get the logo design, but then you get letterhead, you know. It looks even more dorky with the wire hanging
well,
off.
Well, it was out of juice.
Now you look really bizarre.
The reality of Google Glass is it is generally out of juice.
Yeah. How much? So Jeff Jarvis is wearing his glass. How much battery life do you typically get on that?
Well, I forget to turn it on. I leave it in the bag, and it goes on somehow
by itself.
It goes on.
Yeah. So Google is now apparently, as far as we can tell, saying anybody who wants it can have it. It's still $1,500. This is not the, you know, the final version. This is still the kind of the Glass Explorer.
It's the Explorer edition. It's a more open beta. But you get a free pair of the Titanium Collection frames, which is nice. You don't have to buy those separately.
Free, huh?
Free.
Free.
And, of course, it's U.S. only, and it's for as long as they have glass in stock.
So this would just hint to me open that they're not going to do a consumer version.
See, that was always my contention, is I didn't think they were. Certainly, if they do this, you bought one for $1,500, and in 3 months they announce a $300 one, you're going to be peeved. And by the way, there's some speculation. I'm seeing a number of articles saying that the glass costs as little as $150 for Google.
There was a new teardown we have on the rundown
from IHS.
There.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
Now they point out that $152. They point out that much of the cost of a device like this comes from engineering and development.
Well, yeah, but it's not like you try to get all the costs
from five people.
The Tesla from the first five buyers.
You know? Right. I mean, I think it's reasonable to say glass should be expected. By the way, we reported a month ago a teardown that said it was $80. But even if it's $150 or $300, $1,500, let's say it's $300. Maybe they're off by a factor of two. And it's $300. That's still five times more than the cost.
How much of a schmuck am I?
I bought one, too. Did we show last week, Chad? Did we show Jason Howell's glass video of Savannah walking?
This is the greatest. No. Jason Howell's video shows the single best reason to have.
It's great. We showed it on all of Android last night.
It is the most beautiful, magnificent thing, Dad.
Yeah.
It is just.
And
I
you gave me and you gave me props, Jeff, and I thank you on Google Plus saying Leo bought this for Jason. It's exactly why I bought it for Jason, because
greatest thing in the world.
Jason, I didn't have he had a newborn, and I thought, boy, this is going to really be great for him the first time. Here's Savannah wearing glasses.
This is so great. This makes me so happy.
This is his daughter. He stayed home that day from work. She was a little cranky, had a fever, didn't feel well. But I don't know, for some reason
he's
just
torturing
said,
her now. I have your
look,
toy and you don't.
Cheating a little bit. You can take a step.
Now, so Jason's wearing glass. Yeah. So that means he's got direct contact with Savannah. She's not doesn't think Dad has a camera.
I will give that one to you. You made it.
That's the greatest.
And here she goes. This is all by herself. She's going to take a couple more steps.
Oh, she's like, I'm good.
That
I
is such
this.
An important moment, as you know.
Her first step.
Six, seven, eight.
That makes it all worth. For me, $1,500, it's all worthwhile.
That moment.
Right there, because Jason has that. And I remember, who doesn't, their baby's first steps? I remember Abby and Henry's first steps. Absolutely. I'll never forget it. I wasn't there for Abby's, and I was there for Henry's. His first steps were at a rest stop between here and Redding, California.
Get me out of here.
Hey, I'm not going to Redding. It's too hot. But I remember them, but I don't have video of them, and I never would. But I think that's really great that Jason does have that.
It's great. I still have a shot. You know, Jason's raised the bar very high. Edda's really late. She hasn't started. She hasn't walked on her own yet. She cruises. You know, she holds on and cruises, but she hasn't started walking yet. So now that I've seen that, I'm like, oh man, I got to just wear glass every minute I'm with her because she's so close. She's so close to letting
even
go.
Even with glass, there's some serendipity to having the being there at the right place at the right time.
It's true.
I wasn't even in the room when Abby walked. So, anyway,
room,
I don't know. Where do you go
you
if
you
want
glass? Anybody in the chat room? Anybody want to buy glass?
Some people. You mean your glass?
No, well, no, that too.
No, I don't think anybody wants to buy glass. It's too expensive. Where do we get it? Do we go to glass.google.com? I mean, the project page, does it have how to buy it? I don't know.
Look, google.com/glass/start.
Okay.
Become an explorer, and you click on become an explorer, and you can
anybody
go
can do
choose
it.
Your
you don't
choose
have to
your
go
color,
to the golf
choose
course.
Your frames.
Wow.
Choose your shades. Ooh, they got different shades too. I didn't see the different shades.
So you got sky, you got charcoal out of stock, tangerine definitely not out of stock, cotton, which is really just gray. Okay, shale, which is just a darker gray. Which one would I would get? I'll get the orange. Might as well if you're going to wear it, announce it. Select your complimentary accessory.
That's the part that pisses me off. I spent
you didn't get this. Four Featherlight titanium frames. Oh, but these are for prescription.
Yeah, but this costs $250.
Which ones did you get? The curve, bold, split, or thin? Or would you like shade? Oh, can you only get one?
I got thin, I think.
So I can get sunglasses from Maui Jim.
$225.
Your frames look really good, Jeff.
Yeah, these are nice, aren't they? They're not my glass.
Yeah, let me see. These are thin.
You got your.
Oh, these do look good. Ones. They're titanium or they're plastic?
Titanium.
They look good. That's
plastic from Google. Are you
it's good, except you got this black thing over your right temple. I don't know what is
that. It's just that thing.
Maybe if it were orange, I'd like it better. I don't think my head is too big. All right, so I'm gonna choose bold because again, you're wearing glass. Why try to hide it? Add to cart. Add accessories or check out.
Should we dare them?
No, I'm not going to buy it. But I'm just. It looks like I can just
come on,
walk.
Leo.
I can
come
walk
on.
Right through this. Here's my cart. Let's see. Subtotal $1,500. I agree to glass terms of sale without reading. And that's with tax. Oh no, shipping's already included. Buy with Google. Okay.
Wait, you just clicked?
No, but that's not a buy yet.
Oh, yeah, it just prompts you with the wallet.
And I have to give it the address.
If you had a touch screen, I'd reach over.
Because now it's going to say, still doesn't say, there's the text, $125. All right, so $1,625. That's ridiculous.
Just saying.
First
should I wear
up,
mine
Leo?
To I.O. or not?
Oh, yeah, you should. You'll be at home with all the other geeks.
I'll go into the men's room and scare Scoble.
I just can't ever bring myself to wear glass to Google events. I went to an event here in New York a couple months ago, and there were a few people in the audience who had glass, and I couldn't do it. I don't know why.
It's the one place in the earth, Gina, where you'd fit in.
I know.
Does Google, you notice how quickly I clicked those terms of service, and in fact, that's what everybody will do, but it probably would behoove you to wear them, because I would bet, they say this is beta. There's no, like, if it breaks, are they responsible? There's no responsibility, right? This is your, I'm sure in those terms of service, it says you're buying as is without warranty. We don't warrant it for any useful purpose.
Yeah, they probably do say that. My experience has been that they're pretty good, pretty responsive. I don't know if you've had the same experience, Jeff. They called to see how I was doing. There's a community. Yeah. You know, they seemed pretty, pretty good.
Returns exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
It'll accept returns within 30 years.
30 days.
1 year. 30 days. Yeah, I wish 30 years. This is going back. 1 year from the date of receipt.
Oh, that's not bad.
Defects in materials and workmanship.
Wait,
Under ordinary consumer use. Like, there is an ordinary consumer use for this.
Okay, so they'll replace it if it breaks in the first year. I can send it back for how long?
30 days.
So I have 30 days to decide not to buy it?
Yep.
30 days, I think, just for you at home, would be more than enough to get a sense of what it does, how you can use it, blah, blah, blah. And on day 29, send it back. If you're curious, I think that's a good idea.
I almost did that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a colleague of mine at CUNY. He said, no, a whole lot of them.
It's going to be valuable. You know, it will be a bit of history. You know, I mean, if you have.
Yeah, but I still do have my, what do you call it? Newton.
Yeah, I have
this
two
Newton. This is the wearable Newton.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of Newton-y, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. When Wave launched, I remembered CNN did a whole thing. They were in the offices when they pressed enter and launched it. Google's reinventing email. And you could tell that they were just sort of documenting it because they thought it was going to be this big moment in technology. And that's not going to be in the Computer History Museum.
Did you see this guy typing on his Google Glass?
Yeah.
This is from Minium, which is the world's smallest keyboard. Is this a joke?
No. Minium is an actual app.
It has the production value of Silicon Valley, the sitcom.
And it's a different way to type.
So he's sliding it along faster.
He's sliding it along his temple,
He's going to fall off the mountain while he's typing.
I think it's crazy, but I think it's interesting. I mean,
you can dictate, right?
Yeah, this is the thing, right? You want to use voice input. I mean, typing on your seems insane.
Oh, you're an idiot. Oh, my God.
It's actually Morse code.
Look at the last 5 seconds of this video.
It's
right after this. That.
Ah, that's interesting.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so are these...
Okay.
Are these prototypes? Or are they selling this?
They seem to hint.
So he's typing on his arm.
Yeah, the typing on his arm. That it seemed to be a hint toward... I don't believe that you can do that yet.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Kind of interesting. And
then he was typing in the air, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess you see a keyboard. But see, it's not a heads-up display, so... And what is he wearing? Is that ring on his finger part of the... It must be. Sensor.
It must be. Oh, yeah. That must be that ring. That gesture ring. Yeah, you're right. Dopey. You're absolutely right, Leo.
Oh, an index finger ring is not good.
That's
not fashionable.
It looks like a donut. Like a batting practice donut.
I think it's interesting to experiment with different input types, especially if you think about this with a watch or other kinds of wearables. I mean, I would speak what I wanted to say, but if you're in a place where you can't speak, you need a quick keyboard.
I've always wanted to figure out a one-handed typing thing that somehow you can get every letter in some way. But
that doesn't look at all strange. Oh, you mean one of those cording keyboards, the bat?
Yeah, I mean, just some. Why not one hand? It would be useful.
Well, you know, I mean, it was cool, like the guy, the MIT wearable computer guy, when you were the only one and you had a lot of gear and that looked right. Wow, you're really, you know, inventing something. But now it's just a product, and that's kind of, I think it's less cool.
Even less cool.
Even less cool. The more people, I can't take you seriously.
Like you ever do?
I do, but not now. The more people look like that, even less cool. Even less cool. I don't know. And somebody in the chat room pointed out, and this is true, do not wear your typing ring on the middle finger because you could really, get hurt. Hey, we were talking about the Chrome extension. And you were saying, Chad, on Windows, you're able to make that, I mean, not the Hangouts extension, you're able to make that an app.
Yeah.
Can't do it on the Mac unless you're using Chrome Canary. They are now tying those together. So
now,
this is
a little different.
This is tying, so you open a document and it will open a Google Chrome app. In the browser, right?
Right. I mean,
right.
Which
it
is basically
file
just
types.
So if I have readme.txt associated with a text editor that is a Chrome extension, in the past there was no way to say type double click on readme and have. is that in Twitter?
It's in the chat room.
It's in the chat room. So that's kind of interesting.
Scroll down a bit.
Ben did this. I think Ben did a little illustration of. What this show is reminding him of. Ben, can you put glass on the old man on the left? Unfortunately, that really looks apt. That's Statler and Waldorf from the Muppet Show.
Whoa, 1 second.
Their heads. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. And then Gina, why doesn't Gina get... Why can't she have Miss Piggy or something? Come on. I guess you like Gina, huh?
Okay. I'd probably be Miss
Piggy. Okay. Can you talk in faux French? This is actually a bit of a hack. to get the Mac to do this. But to enable it, you have to be, first of all, using Google Chrome Canary, which is their gamma version. Not even beta, but gamma. And then you have to use the Chrome flag. Enable apps file associations. And that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. They actually say it's easier to do on a Mac because of the way the Mac works. So I think we should start doing more. Clearly, we need to do more Chrome extensions. Like your app arena on All About Android, we should do Chrome extension arena.
Yeah, interesting. Ooh. Yeah.
Because clearly that's more and more becoming, you know, a thing.
You never see an All About Chrome show.
No.
That would be
No.
All About Internet Explorer. All About Firefox.
Did you note the 20-year anniversary of
IE?
No. Of they had the reunion party for Netscape last week.
Oh yes, I did. I saw a very interesting picture of Jim Barksdale and I mean these guys. 20 years ago was it the stock, the IPO or
no?
Because
the browser was released. It was released in October 1994.
Okay, so it was the browser release.
No, it was October. So it was before October. So it must be the company was formed.
Company was formed. All right. Very cool.
A Chrome show, though, you know, would be like Chromecast, Chrome OS.
Yeah,
Chrome
you know what? Actually, we could do a Chrome show. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
There is something there. Well, meanwhile,
it would be a little weird
the
to have
burden
a show
is on this show to do.
Yes, we'll cover Chrome
stuff.
It's our turf, Gina. It's ours.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, don't give it away to some young person. Let us old farts do it.
We can leave Android All About the AAA, but
we'll Android's for All About Android. That you're the host of that, and along with Jason, and that's fine. But we want to keep Chrome extensions. Last month, Governor Cuomo in New York announced or appointed a 3-person commission to advise on the use of technology in schools. One of the three, Eric Schmidt, seems like somebody would know a little bit about technology in the schools. He is still the chairman of the board at Google. Apparently, there are Consumer Watchdog and others are not happy.
Consumer Watchdog being an organization that goes after Google all the time.
That's their job, not to be happy. They filed a complaint with the New York State Joint Commission on Public Ethics saying Schmidt has, quote, serious, troubling, and unlawful conflicts of interest. It is a good point. I mean, I figure Eric's going to go in there and say use Chromebooks.
Yeah.
But I think he might also have the good sense to recuse himself in that discussion. Yeah. And
plus, what do you do? You have you never get any advice from anyone in industry?
Right. Don't you
want? What do you want? You want somebody from an oil company there?
Well, maybe Consumer Watchdog said it's because Eric's Google's the only person with a seat at the table. He says if it were one of several technology representatives, it'd be more acceptable.
I'll buy that much.
You know, get Bill Gates, Eric Schmidt, and Tim Cook on that board.
That's
now
a fun
you
meeting.
Got some.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point. And honestly, I'd rather see somebody who is an advocate for the students primarily, who's very tech savvy versus, you know, someone.
Yeah, how savvy is Eric Schmidt? Hey, kids, if you want to buy pants, we've got a solution for you.
Or I'd like to see someone like you, Leo, you know, who
I do that,
reports on accommodates. Yeah,
I serve on a nonprofit board advising them on technology. So
it's great.
And I did do that for the city.
Do you buy Chromebooks?
I did, and they bought Lenovo Windows notebooks instead.
Ooh.
That's okay. You know why they did? Because they used to do – it's a one-to-one program in the school, and they used to use Macintoshes, but Apple's price just got out of reach.
Really?
Yeah, and so they had to go Windows. I think – you know, they use Google – all Google services, Google Docs and everything. I think it's just a matter of time before they go to Chromebooks.
Yeah.
If you were to run your own mail server – because you're very privacy conscious and you didn't want Google to get information about your emails, how much of your mail would not be visible to Google? Turns out not much, only about half. Benjamin Mako Hill, who has the Copyrighteous blog, says, it doesn't even matter if I don't want Google to have information about me because you are probably using Gmail. About half of my correspondents use Gmail. I use Gmail. Anybody sends anything to me, whether they use Gmail or not, is exposed to Google.
With that is?
If all your friends use Gmail, Google has your mail anyway. So he wrote a little program to go through all the email he's kept in his personal inbox since April 2004. That's when Gmail first came out to see, you know, if they had a Gmail address or not, to see how many emails Google would have. And he says about a third of the email in my inbox comes from Google. I think he's lower than most of us. But I'd have to, I'm going to do an analysis. I might get a lot of email from AOL.com users.
Because you got old farts? A lot of old farty friends.
On the Tech Guy show, you mentioned Windows XP. Where can I get that? It also says that the proportion of my personal email that comes via Google is probably much higher.
Yeah. That makes sense to reason.
Yeah. Despite the fact I spend hundreds of dollars a year and hours of work to host my own email server, Google has about half of my personal email.
And it's probably even higher than they know, because if you send email to Buzz Machine, you don't know that it's an apps account.
Right. That's right. Twit.tv is an apps account. Right. If you send an email to Leo at twit.tv, it's going through Google.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what he's saying, right? That a lot of it goes through their SMTP servers or whatever, right? Or forwarding addresses. Mm-hmm.
So just give up, you know? Just give up.
Yeah,
it's
as one of the people in the chat room says, well, you just said a minute ago that if you don't like Google, just don't use it. And now you're still trapped anyway.
Well, don't use email. Or only use, only use 43% of your email.
Yeah. I mean, this is a little bit akin to saying, like, all my personal all these people have my personal letters because I sent them to them. Like, that's the nature of it, right? Yes.
But it would make sense to lead a campaign not to use Gmail. That would be your...
Okay, but this is analogous to our first discussion today. It's exactly that. So you sent me a letter, and then you come along 5 years later and say, I demand you destroy that letter I sent you.
Yeah. Too late.
I have a right to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the difference between someone who has a Gmail account and a Google account and has all their email stored on Google and uses their services all the time is that Google is actively advertising to that person. Whereas someone who hosts their own email account, even though Google is storing email that they've sent to people who use Google, from what I understand, Google isn't building a profile or, you know, keeping a store of data about that person to try to advertise to them, because they're not signed into a Google account when they send that email.
Right.
So for the folks who do want to opt out of Google's advertising on whatever level, I think it is still worth, you know, setting up your own email server. And I actually have quite a few friends who do that. I'm too lazy, but.
Well, it's a good thing you don't live in the People's Republic of New Zealand. Apparently, New Zealand is now going to require network operators, internet service providers, to register with police. Their staff must have security clearance. And when they change networks, buy gear, they actually have to get approval from the New Zealand spy agency.
Who spies on New Zealand? What's to spy on?
The Government Communications Security Bureau.
Kiwi pricing?
Ah, that's interesting. I don't know. It gives me, you know, I always thought of New Zealand as kind of a little bit like hippies.
Yeah.
No, apparently not. Mm-hmm. New Zealand, if you're an internet service provider, you're going to have to register. It's like China. You have to register with the police. Did you read Liz Gaines' article about how boring it was to take a ride in the Google autonomous vehicle? I guess that's a good thing. Although, you know, the headline from a lot of people was it was mundane, it was boring. I don't know. She says the car braked for jaywalkers, paused when it was coming around a curve and couldn't see whether the light in front of us was green or red, and skittered when it worried a bus might be turning into our lane. That doesn't sound mundane. It sounds a little nerve-wracking.
It does sound nerve-wracking.
Well, did you see Silicon Valley this week?
No, not yet.
So one of the characters gets into an autonomous vehicle, and it says, oh, where would you like to go? And he says, I would, you know, and gives the address, I'd like to go home. And about halfway through the trip, the autonomous vehicle says, rerouting. And all of a sudden, it's on its way to an island, a man-made island in the middle of the ocean. And the guy's in the back seat. He says, what? No, hello? Hello, car? The car just makes a big U-turn, keeps going, drives into a container on a ship. The guy's going, let me out, let me out. They seal the container. The ship sails. He's off in an island in the middle of the ocean. Finally, he gets there. The container is open. He thinks, finally, humans. Turns out the whole island in the ocean is manned by more robots. We don't know what's going to happen to this character. Now, that's a self-driving vehicle.
That's a self-driving script.
I think it's pretty funny. It was well done. It was It was a B plot, subplot stretched throughout the show. So every once in a while they check back. Where is he now? So anyway, good for Liz. I don't know how she got a ride in the self-driving car. That's kind of cool. Wonder why, if we could get a ride. Have you driven in it?
No, I haven't, but I was going to visit Google Campus, and somebody said, oh, we can get you a ride in the car, and I didn't do it that day, so I think they'd do it for you.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Yeah?
We should see if we could arrange the whole Twig crew go for a ride at an I.O. That'd be pretty awesome.
That would.
She says
let's do a show from the self-driving car.
Oh, that'd be great. Now, yeah. I presume there's a guy sitting in the driver's seat with his hands poised over the wheel just in case.
Yeah, that's got to be a nerve-wracking job. You're always ready. Ready.
My distinct impression, Liz writes, was that the Google self-driving car is nowhere near ready for commercialization. She said, you know, she felt fairly confident in it. But
there are also stories today that Google is talking to auto companies actively.
Yeah.
Jeff, so my question for you is, I know you said you can't stop progress, but would you take a ride in the self-driving car across a bridge? That's my question for you.
Oh, no. I wouldn't do that.
Is the self-driving car suicidal?
I wouldn't do that. Apparently, Google employees are now commuting to work in self-driving cars.
Really?
But, there's always
until
a driver.
San Franciscans stand up and throw yogurt on them.
The day you can sit in the back seat with nobody in the front seat, that's a self-driving car. If you're sitting in the front seat with your hands poised over the steering wheel.
You're pretty.
In fact, I think that's more tense than just driving
yourself. I think it
yourself.
Is, too.
It's like, well, just plus, give me the wheel.
How about, what does it take to take it over? How long is that added response time?
Right.
That's a good question.
Google self-driving cars still have trouble in rain, especially on the highway when other cars kick up water. They're currently about as good as a human driving in heavy fog. And they forget snow. They haven't even tried that.
So California.
Snow, what's that, man?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, that water, it's going to freeze?
That'll be version 4.0.
Yes. This is good. In fact, he says, for all the millions of measurements and computations per second, you're really only doing two things. How you're the throttle and the steering. How fast you're going and which way you're going.
So this story from VentureBeat says that Google self-driving car technology may appear in Toyotas, Fords, and other widely available vehicles in about 6 years.
Hmm. That's about, the cycle for developing a car is fairly long. It's like 5 years.
Yeah, it's about that,
so
yeah.
It could well be just that. Didn't Twitter have a mute function all along? Is this, I see so much about this mute function.
Not the official apps. The unofficial apps, third-party apps, had the mute.
What's the difference between mute and block again? You explained this before, Gina, but I forget.
Mute is you're following the person, but you don't see their tweets in your timeline for however long that person is muted.
You don't unfollow them. You just shut them up.
Yeah, you just don't see them in your timeline.
And more importantly, the muted user will not know you've muted them.
Right, and you appear to be following them, in fact.
Right.
So it's like the way to unsubscribe for someone, but keep them as your friend.
This is programming on the head of a pin.
And I love 9to5 Google, which used Donald Trump as an example.
I mean, I think the use case is like, oh, Leo is live tweeting Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch that.
Right.
You know, so I mute him during the duration.
Yeah.
Of the show.
Or, when conferences, and everybody's at South by Southwest.
Everybody gets.
I wish you could mute a hashtag. Anything with SXSW, that would
be great. And I want to say now, if I'm at a conference irritating people, I want to say, number one, I'm from New York. I can irritate you.
Right.
And number two, just mute me. Mute me.
Feature will roll out to all users over the next coming weeks. And finally, Flappy Bird is back. Thank God.
The world was a much worse place without it.
I did play it. I still have it. You want to play it? Have you
ever
played
it? No, I hate games.
Yeah. Well, this game you'd really hate. Flappy Bird creator Nguyen Dong says, I'm bringing the game back in August. It will be a multiplayer game, and he's been spending all his time making it less addictive.
Oh, this guy. It feels really bad for him. I mean, the fact that he's into making games, like he's a game maker and he doesn't, and he's trying to make it less addictive.
It was too successful.
It was too successful.
It was too successful. And he said people were wasting too much of their life. Aw, I feel bad. Well, we're glad to have Dong back in the Android store.
Back in
That's
the
all
mix.
I can say. Yep.
Yeah.
What store doesn't need more Dong? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, thank you for laughing. Jeff did not laugh.
I had no idea what that was. Neither did you.
Let the word go forth. This show brought to you by my good buddies at Personal Capital. In fact, I was just meeting with them. I love these guys. Personal Capital is, they said, can we use the word life hacker? I said, no, I don't think so. Gina has to. But it is a life hack. It is a way to make your life, not, you guys must have trademarked life hacks.
I think we trademarked life hacker. I think Gawker trademarked life hacker.
But not hacks?
Certainly not life hack. No.
Well, two words, life hack. So here's the problem. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're a busy person, you got a family, you're working, the last thing you have time to do is keep track of your finances, frankly. And if you're saving for the future, if you're investing for the future, the chances are good you're either not doing it at all or ignoring it, or you're getting ignored by some stockbroker in some mahogany-walled office. Or maybe you decided to go the digital route and use a digital broker, and even more ignoring goes on. Personal Capital is such a great solution. First thing you're going to do is visit personalcapital.com/twig. It is free to sign up, and I'll explain how that works. It's a free and it's secure tool that will gather all your accounts, everything together, your checking, your charge cards, your mortgage, your loans, and your investments, all in one place. You get a good live dashboard you can look at on your computer or your mobile device on a single screen, exactly what's going on. It'll show you, among other things, how much you're overpaying in fees, how you can reduce those fees. And people sometimes ask me, well, if it's free, how do they make money? It's kind of freemium. You can get a certified financial planner to give you advice. These are not salesmen. They are not selling you stock. They do not make commission on stock. They're giving you independent advice on your investments. And that is a really great thing. We know you like to do things fast. We know you like to do things easy. And sometimes some of the most important stuff gets ignored. This is a way to get it done without consuming your life, to get an investment checkup, a mutual fund fee calculator, to get research and insights. They'll send you personalized updates every week with highlights and suggestions to keep your finances on the right track. It's okay to save and invest. It's important to save and invest. Do it right with a free tool that can give you unbiased financial advice. PersonalCapital.com/twig. Absolutely free. And I think you will like it. Personal Capital. I've been using it for 2 years since I met the founder, Bill Harris. He was on Triangulation. And
you're rich. I tell you, rich.
Well, I tell you one thing. I could have been less rich if I had not been using Personal Capital. Especially the last couple of years, it's been a little up and down. The wrong investments could be a big mistake. And, you know, I tell you, sometimes these stockbrokers, they'll put you, you know, say, oh, we got a mutual fund for you, you know, run by our own company with a 5% fee right on the front there. Let us get our tip and our number and our tool of the week. We'll start with Gina Trapani.
This is a new Google Now feature that I think is a little weird, but also kind of interesting. You can use Google Now to remind yourself to cancel things like Amazon Prime and Netflix. I don't know what this is about. I don't know if Google's trying to get you to cancel Amazon Prime, but maybe. Anyway, if you say, remind me to cancel Hulu Plus,
remind me to cancel Amazon Prime. That seems anti-competitive on the face of it, but okay.
And now we'll show you a little cancel subscription link that will take you right to the cancel page.
Jeez. Oh, well, now, see, that's what's different, because you could always say, remind me to X.
Right.
But this actually says, oh, I see the word cancel. Let's show you how to. You know what? This is great, because I do that. I had a Vonage subscription for 4 years that I never used. And it was on my to-do list, but if I had known how to click the link and go, I probably would have done it.
Well, how long after? I can't remember how long after it took me to cancel AOL.
Yeah, same thing. You know? And they just kind of slowly draw the money.
Problem I have, here's the one I need.
What?
Is whenever I go to Europe, I sign up for the extra data. I sign up to $100 for 1 month for extra data so I can use my phone.
Another great one.
And then I
always
back,
forget.
They always
for at least
say,
a month
don't
or two.
Do it right away because the bills will come in. My wife went after me the other day and she said, well, did you cancel? I said, no, but I'm going back to Europe. So.
No, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
This is good.
I have many iOS magazines subscriptions that just sort of pile up on my iPad, which is not charged.
Yep.
That will not work with this, but but I think this is pretty good.
You can still ask for a reminder, but we won't have a link to it. That is very interesting that Google would get into this business.
It is kind of interesting. It's a little weird. It's a little weird, and yet it's there. So there you go, kids. Cancel everything that's not Google.
Can you? Well, wait a minute. Can I say cancel Google Wallet or,
cancel Google Listen or Listen All Access? That's a good question. We should try it out.
I think so.
Cancel Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I love it that's the example they give.
And there should be a little and sign up for Google Shopping Express.
Boy, it is funny being out here. You do see the Google delivery trucks. All over, and Amazon delivery trucks.
Oh yeah,
jeez,
We're fertile territory for those guys. Yes, we are. Oh yes, here it is. Thank you, Ben, for an updated image.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, we got complete with glass too. That's good. Very good, Ben.
Now that's Photoshop wizardry. I like it. We should use that as our album art for today's show.
That'd be great.
That's awesome. I actually think that looks better than the original.
It does. It's great.
Miss Piggy, Statler, and Waldorf, the hosts.
What do their voices sound like? Do you remember?
Yeah, old men. I don't remember.
Although I did like the implicit commentary when you guys were.
Yes, it was just you. Yes. That was the real. You know that was really the intent all along. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for a number. I see you have several, Jeffrey.
Well, always prepared.
Always ready with a number.
Well, I guess maybe we could do 8 things to look for at I.O.
8 things.
8 things to look for at I.O. There's also a video of 10 things to expect at I.O., but I didn't watch the video, so I don't know what it said.
Do more than eight.
So what do we have there? We have, it's one of those bloody slideshows you got to go through.
Oh, I hate that stuff.
I hate them.
Should I go through it for you so you don't have to? Let's do it. Information week.
So number one is the Nexus 8. Will we have a Nexus 8? Should we vote on this? What do you think? Nexus 8? Yes, no.
Nexus 8. Oh, that would be an 8-inch tablet.
8-inch tablet. A new Nexus tablet. What do you think? Gina?
No.
Okay, no. Next one is Android 4.5.
Wait a minute. I'm getting an ad in every single slide.
Oh, jeez.
Holy camoly. What was the next one?
Next one is Android 4.5.
I don't know about the version number, but yes on the redesign.
A flatter motif, fewer textures and shadows. Like, I care.
Android Hostess Ho-Ho. No, it's KH, right? Hostess Ho-Ho. Android Ho-Ho.
That's right.
Yeah.
What did it say here? It just said something about that, I thought. Moonshine. Codename Moonshine.
But it's got to have an H, right? It's a dessert with an H.
Oh, right. Ho-Ho.
We just did Kit Kat.
Unless they version up Kit Kat.
Wait a minute. I don't know my alphabet. L.
L. L.
What would L be?
Lollipop?
Lollipop. Or Lick-A-Maid.
Licorice.
Lemonheads.
That's a good one.
Android Lemonheads. Who's going to get the magic? You know, I'm sure they're calling them right now.
Licorice. I never liked
licorice. Licorice isn't a dessert. Licorice, though? These are delicious.
They are.
Natural. Red vines.
I didn't know licorice was unnatural.
Well, you can get unnatural licorice. Unnatural anything.
I'll do it later. You remember I said I'm irritated by people who do open mouth chewing.
Yes.
Not you.
There's no right to annoy.
Number
California.
4.
New Gmail.
Oh, we didn't even mention the changes in Gmail that have just appeared. Or did you mention it in the change log?
They haven't come out, right? This is still rumor.
It's a rumor.
Speculation, I think. Yeah.
So
yeah.
So which you is think, why I didn't you think they'll it. Announce a new Gmail at I.O.?
I'm yes on this. I think this is going to happen. I think that they are testing this. I think there's going to be some new stuff in Gmail. I think this redesign is going to happen. I think there's going to be some tasks
Google
upcoming.
Can you stop redesigning Gmail and just make it IMAP, please? I beg of you, this fake IMAP is confused. I cannot find a good mail client on the Macintosh, and I've tried them all now. The only ones that are any good are just a window to the Google website, the Gmail website.
Wow.
Because it's not traditional. It's not a traditional IMAP implementation, mostly because it doesn't do folders. It does filters, but it doesn't use IMAP tags, even though it could use IMAP. Anyway, it's please just fix
it's because,
it, Google.
It's, yeah, it's because you can do multiple labels, right?
You can have
on a
more
message,
than one.
So
yes.
It's not like it's not a one-to-one right. folder.
What right. Google could do with Gmail at I.O. that I think would get us an innovation would be adding encryption.
They will do. All right, I'm going to add that to this list. We just made it 9.
Encryption.
Absolutely, encryption. I bet you that is, in fact.
Because that's the crowd that will respond.
Yep.
All right, next is focus on design.
Yes.
They announced that already. They said that this is going to be the design Google I.O.
All right, fine. Everything these days is design, design, design. We go all around the valley, and it's, I'm design thinker.
Yeah.
I think in Helvetica. All right, next.
A Nexus 6 phone.
A Nexus 6.
They're going to have a name collision.
They're about due.
Yeah. They got a problem. This might be the last one. When
do
LG, that?
LG is going to have a 7, an 8, an 8.3, and a 10.
I think this is where you go to, what was it, Silver that they were proposing? That,
yeah, I think it's going to be Android Silver.
This is where you do Android Silver instead of Nexus 6, because it can't be a Nexus 7. There already is, so I think you make the change now.
6A, 6B.
No, you go
Next, what do you think? Vote. Nexus 6 at I.O.?
No.
Do you know?
I don't think so.
No. Me neither.
Nope.
All right.
I think maybe Silver, though.
You think maybe a new phone? Oh, so a new phone?
No, but the Silver would be a Silver edition of mainstream phones, like Google Play edition, right? Is that right, Gina? Is that what the...
Yes, similar to Google Play edition, but consumer-focused.
Yeah.
Okay.
Silver is kind of like Microsoft did with Windows. They had a signature series where it didn't have a lot of crapware and stuff like that.
All right. Number 7 is Android 5. A big Android change. They have been due for a big change.
Android 5 Milk Dud. Oh, that's probably not a good name for an operating system. Marshmallow. Malamar.
Codenamed Hera.
Malamar.
Android Malamar. That's a brand name I can get behind.
Reportedly allows a device to perform a task normally associated with a particular app only without having to open the app to do it.
What?
What the hell?
What? Well, what?
Yeah, no. Right.
No.
This is going to happen June.
I don't even understand what they're talking about.
All right, next.
Marzipan.
Google Plus refocused. All right, here's that. Here's the question. Will they talk about Google Plus at I.O.?
Yes.
Gina? I think it could be Uncle Ted we don't talk about.
I don't think they do.
Yeah. You don't think neither of you? All right.
I
should make a bingo
about,
card out of this.
They're going to talk about Hangouts? They're going to talk about Hangouts and Photos, but they're not going to talk about Google Plus.
Well,
no. Yeah.
Mm-mm. God, I'm going to be depressed if they do that. I don't believe it. I think they will talk about it. But this is good. We should make notes on this.
Sure, this is good.
Because we're going to, you know.
You should bet.
Bingo card.
Bingo card.
Who buys
bingo.
The coffee on the way to the show?
I'm going to stay here. So I'm going to do the keynote
right.
while you guys are at the show. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to whip up here afterwards, as we've done in the past. And we'll do it this week in Google afterwards.
Jeff on the bridge.
Mike Elgin. Is Mike going? He is going. Everybody's going. Jason's going. I'm going to be all alone here. Chad. Was that Liz? Was that Liz shouting? Chad and I will be. That was Tanya, wasn't it? Tanya, you can join me. We'll be covering it from here as the keynote, and I will make
a
note.
Is that bouncing, Tanya?
No, that's Liz. It's bouncing.
I can't see. Oh, yeah. Oh, hello, Liz.
I will make
a
note
of
this,
now.
And then when Google doesn't, you know, as we tick to the end of the keynote, will Larry Page do his?
No, here's the real question. No. What's the question Robert Scoble is going to ask of Larry Page?
Will they let Scoble go to the microphone this time, or will he be tackled before he gets anywhere near it?
And then number nine is something wild. Will there be something wild?
A Nexus Q type device.
Yes, something we couldn't anticipate. Something we get up here and we all admit we were surprised. Will we all get here and admit surprise after I.O.? Gina?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, although, think where's right. my watch? There's no mention of a watch here. I want to watch.
This is the time frame for the Moto X watch.
I don't think we're going to get blindsided 16. By something from left field like the Q this year. Yeah. I mean, I'd love that. That's awesomely fun, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think so. But that's just a guess.
How about an update to Chromecast? Update. That's got to be a successful yeah.
important. That's not a. That's
well, what
not
about allowed. Android TV? Didn't they say we're going to replace Google TV with Android true. TV? That that's might true. Be a product.
Android TV
about.
Might Android be that, TV. That could be a surprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Motorola did not at its event announce a new X, did they? An X plus one.
Did they announce the E? I don't even.
They announced the E.
Right, okay. And they announced and the G, right, with LTE.
Right. Mm-hmm. But no, mm-hmm. at which, both of which are very low end, low price phones for the. Developing world.
It's, been, huge, it's time for right. a next interesting phone.
I feel like Motorola, well, the Motorola deal hasn't closed. They're still Google, but they're
yeah.
on the way out.
What's that one, Leo? What are you carrying now?
This is the M8, the same one that Gina uses, except I don't use the Google Play edition. I use the HTC edition. But I do like this phone. You know, we played with, and I think, did Jason show you yesterday? The Harman Kardon edition of this, the audio
yeah,
file
yeah,
edition
he did.
Of this.
He did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you think?
I liked the sound quality. I thought the sound quality was actually better. But I'm, you know, I don't know if I would say spend $50 more on a phone just because of some better headphones and some improved sound quality. Because it looks
yeah,
the same.
Those,
and you're stuck
with crazy headphones, right?
Yeah, and you're stuck with a black versus some of the other choices in color.
Yeah, Jason, I can see your fingerprints.
Yeah, you know what? That phone is brand new and it looks... Yeah.
Either that or you've been eating the potato chips, haven't you?
I don't like the black and gold so much. Gina, do you have the gray, the steel?
Mm-hmm.
But look
yeah,
how
I have
dented
steel.
Look how dented mine has become
wow.
over time. And then there's lots of scratches here. You know, Sherlock Holmes noted that a drunk must live at a house because of all the scratches around the keyhole. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he might think I was a drunk as well because of all the scratches around the USB port.
It's because you never know what's up and down.
I can't. I always do it wrong. Scratch, scratch.
It has three sides.
Yeah. And none of them fit.
It's always pitch black, and I'm trying to plug that thing in at night.
I haven't done my job. I am toolless today, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, did you try the Yahoo News Digest?
Oh, that's the new, that's,
yeah,
I've used
Gina,
it. I've used it on iOS.
It's on here now.
And I kind of like it. Do you like
really?
It?
Really?
Well,
yeah, it's on Android now.
It's
it was
the
my
Sumly.
Pick last night.
Yeah, it's the
yeah,
Sumly
it's,
thing.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
I don't get it.
You know, New York Times Now is also doing that.
Are they on Android yet or not?
Not yet.
Okay, that's.
But the idea is that instead of wading through all these articles, all these things that you have to read, why don't we just pick, you know, 9 stories that are important? And in fact, we won't even give you all the text of the story. We'll just give you a summary. Because you're a busy person, and you don't need
that's
all that detail.
That's the idea.
But you can click on it and drill down and get more information. And I actually kind of like it. Here it is.
What's the name of the app? I can't find it.
Down a little ways. Yahoo News Digest. It's very pretty. And this was the way it was on iOS as well. So this is Wednesday Morning's Digest. And they literally give you just 9 stories. Whoops. Oh, so that's different from iOS. On iOS, you go down... So to go down, if you want to read more about it, this is the coal miners in Turkey. And you see, as you go, you're going to get pictures, you're going to get videos, and you just keep going down if you want to have more detail, right? So I think that that's kind of nice, even down to tweets and references. But the idea is you don't have to drill down. You could just say, oh, there's that headline. That's story one. Story two, wildfire season opens, thousands in San Diego flee. Court order, judge calls for Pistorius to undergo mental evaluation. Military dilemma. Pentagon okays Manning's transfer for gender treatment. Ruled unconstitutional, judge strikes down Idaho's same-sex marriage ban. Now, one of these stories was in Twig so far. The finish to the Clippers game. Stay to Texas execution. The Swedish Oscar-winning director of Searching for Sugarman died. He was fat. That is a great movie. That's terrible.
So you want to know more?
So again, you see what happened there? That was the first one that got me interested. If you haven't seen Searching for Sugar Man, that's a fascinating documentary with quite a twist about halfway through. Sony posting a $1.3 billion quarterly loss. Yikes. So that was 9 stories. Oh, there's 10. Michael Jackson's Thriller. New album, number 1 in over 50 countries. And then... did you know? That's interesting. But then I also got a little thing that said, I don't have it now. How many stories I'd gone through.
And yeah.
I think this is There's a lot of editorial judgment on it. I don't know.
But
if
isn't that all automated or no?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it gets smarter. You can.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's you get one in the morning, 8 a.m. 6 p.m.
What's the big deal?
United States, UK, Canada, and international editions.
It's just a quick way to catch up on the news on your commute. You know, to
right.
You know,
and actually,
I think that's called the New York Times.
You can get pretty deep. Well, New York Times now is very much the same idea, except you have to pay for it.
Right.
This is free from Yahoo. In fact, I didn't even have to sign into my Yahoo.
Less news, and I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
The one of my favorite tweets today was the editor of the New York Times, Jill Abramson, just got ousted, replaced by Dean Baquet. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the best tweet I saw, I forget who I could give credit, was that the news of Y will be available only for New York Times premium platinum users.
That's good. I like it. There's also a pretty good widget that remembers what you've read and what you haven't. You can flip through the stories in the Android widget. That's the only, I think, main difference between the Android version and the iOS version.
See, that gives me a good tool that's related. So that's one. But here's another one. I always thought that Newsstand was just like selling magazines, but it is in fact a news app with a nice widget. You can scroll through the Newsstand stories even if you don't buy a magazine. You can see news highlights. This is the Google Play Newsstand, and I think it actually is a pretty darn nice summary of the news. Now, if you subscribe to magazines, they'll show up here.
I like it too. I use it every day.
Yeah,
I use it every day.
I prefer this to the Yahoo Now we just looked at, frankly.
And, you know, it's different. There's a different use case. And I'm not sure what it is exactly for Newsstand versus Flipboard.
But here's highlights. It's like Flipboard. Here's
it's
news.
But it's different. And I like them both. I think it's
business, yeah. Entertainment. And if you subscribe to a magazine, it'll show up here. But I don't actually subscribe to any magazines in Newsstand or newspapers. But I did log into my New York Times account. And
I subscribed to lots.
Yeah.
What's the name of this? Play recommendation? No, it's
old. So I just thought it was the Play Store. It was another Play Store. It's Play Newsstand.
Play Newsstand. It replaces. It's a Google News app, but it's not Google News.
Play
replaced,
Newsstand.
What was it replaced? Remember that? It used to
so have? You have, you know, Play Books, Play Games, Play Movies and TV, Play Music, and Play Newsstand. And I just assumed, because it's lumped in with these, you know, places where you buy music or you buy movies and TV, that it is like Apple's Newsstand, a place where you buy and subscribe to. But it's actually much better
it's very good.
Because it's actually a news app.
You know, this reminds me, I've been meaning to complain about something for a long time.
All right, complain about it.
So the Google Finance app is awful.
It's like an orphan child. Here it is. Yeah.
And when you try to go to, please, go ahead. When you try to go to a story, it's bad sources. It constantly has problems updating. If you go back to the portfolio and then go to Google, let's say, because we're on that, and then you get news, but the news is always from weird sources. It doesn't give you very much good stuff. Sometimes you try to click through and you get
some. Yeah, this is the same kind of news, though, you get in Yahoo Finance. This is financial news.
I know, but it should be better. Stupid. Google should do a better job of this.
Yeah. It's very much like the Yahoo app or any other financial app, I think. Mostly people use that for your stock price, right? And the only reason you look at, you can have a ticker. The only reason that you look at news is to say, why did that stock tumble?
Yes, yes.
So it's that kind of news. It's got.
And the other thing I don't understand why they haven't done is there isn't a Google News app. Now, Google News is made nicely for mobile.
I'm surprised they even still do Google News. Do you think? I mean, really, seriously, I'm surprised. That feels like Google Reader. That feels like another era.
Don't say that.
Another time and place.
I use Google News every week for the show. I use Google News often. I go on and see what's new. Yeah.
I use news occasionally. There are times when I get results that are old and I switch over to news
Hillary does not have brain damage.
Well, remember she got hit head. Yeah. And there was some concern that she was injured. Why do I have two phones? Oh, this is Jason's.
This is the one with the smudges.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you, Gina. You gave me my tools, the Yahoo News, Yahoo News Digest, and Google Newsstand, Play Newsstand, which actually is a very good and has a great widget and a very good little news app, whether you subscribe to anything in it or not.
Yeah, thank you. I just installed the widget. So the widget wasn't in my widgets list. I had to launch the app and then say, okay, got it. You know, I'm in. And then the widget showed up. I got it now. It's a nice widget.
Yeah. It's quite pretty. You can scroll. It's, you know, these are all very, oh, you want to see it again? These are all, Chad shows my hand. I want to see it. These are all very much like Flipboard Currents. What, remember Google Currents was kind of for a while the choice. But I think this is nice. It doesn't take up a lot of space. You can just tap the down bar and go through stories like this.
Which one is that?
This is the newsstand one.
Well, that's the newsstand widget. Oh, yeah. I got to put that in.
Oh, yeah, if you use newsstand.
I forgot how to put widgets in. Where do I find the widget?
I don't know. Okay. Our show.
Wrong tap in the home screen.
Here I have my help desk. They don't help me.
I don't know, Jeff. Google it. It's a long tap on the home screen.
I have a right to irritate you. I just want you to remember that.
Or you can go to your app drawer and tap the widget tab.
All right.
And then drag them to your screen. Our show today has come to the end. It feels like the intelligence is going downhill.
Hey,
this way.
Hey, hey. Jeez, man, you come here and you get abuse.
It's like smart, dumb, and dumber. No, hey. I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing.
No, some of us need someone to dumb down the news and summarize it in 9 points, and some of us need help putting widgets on our
screen. Wait a minute,
screen.
You're telling me there's a Hangouts extension in Chrome? Are you kidding me? I'll buy you lunch.
What, do you throw your shoes at him or something?
Statler and Waldorf. Hey, these guys don't know what they're talking about. I remember when it was on TV. Our show is every Wednesday.
Let's go back to that spelling game, Leo. Let's have some more fun on this show.
That was gripping.
Whose idea was that? Brilliant Gina's?
Yeah,
it was mine. Brilliant Gina thought that one up.
That's a game to play by yourself.
You've exhausted everything else in life you can do. In your last 2 minutes before you die, you play that game.
There's not enough time in 2 minutes. The idea, though, is to help you learn to spell English better. So it's really for non-English speakers. Let's play another round.
No.
We do This Week in Google every Wednesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2000 UTC. On twit.tv. If you watch live, you'll see great fun and an occasional profanity. But if you don't, you can get the on-demand version, of which we have expunged all profanity and fun. And you get that right there on your iTunes or Stitcher, or use the great Twit apps, or just go to twit.tv/twig. Nice to have you.
It's great to be here. I love being here. And next time we'll be here, all three of us together.
After
I.O.
What day is that? That's June
25?
End of June? All right.
Something like that, yeah.
That's exciting.
It is.
We will do live coverage, by the way, of the I.O. keynote, and then do This Week in Google right after. Gina Trapani is at thinkup.com. You got to get ThinkUp. If you haven't got it yet, let me just get some insights. I'd like to do this. I'd love to do my ThinkUp. See how my week was on Twitter. It takes Twitter and Facebook, analyzes it. And tells you, you know, what happened, who followed you, which tweets were big. Wow, that was a big one.
Oh, Leo, more people follow you than went to Woodstock.
Oh.
Scroll down.
Wow.
That chart is a bug. Let's go.
That's a big bug.
You got to fix that.
That's not right.
Sorry about that.
That's not right. This status update got quadruple the likes for Leo Laporte.
That is also a bug. We're in beta. That status update. Ooh, this isn't going well.
Here we go.
You said now, she was a smart one, didn't you?
Look at that.
That's
insight.
Great. That is great.
Did you do that just for me, Gina?
Absolutely.
That is so awesome. Is that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi? I don't think that's Woodstock. I think that's something else.
You're our cult leader, Leo.
What is that? Is it Woodstock?
That's what.
That's how many people went to Woodstock. More than 500,000 people follow Leo Laporte. But the problem, the difference is at Woodstock, there were no spam bots. So that's a big difference.
It's true. It's true. That is true. Good point.
This is a really useful tool. I really like it. My best, my updates from last week got the best response between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. That's when I should be tweeting. That's just a little thing that's useful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks, Leo.
Thank you, Gina.
We'll fix that chart. Thank you so much for having me on the show. My favorite hour of the week.
Yay! Right after All About Android, which is another favorite hour of the week, which she does every Tuesday on this network, 5 p.m. Pacific. Jeff Jarvis is at buzzmachine.com, City University of New York. If you want to study journalism, this is the guy to learn from. He's reading a book on the history of newspapers. How about that?
Wake me when it's over. It's my homework.
And he also published a couple of fabulous books, but the most recent is Public Parts, which you can get at bookstores everywhere. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next week on Twig.